It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, May 2nd. I'm Patricia Naft. The Elk Creek Mine in Gunnison County was once one of Colorado's most productive coal mines. Its coal silo stood tall for 50 years. However, last Friday, it was demolished. While just another step in the mine's shutdown, its collapse was symbolic. KVNF's Jake Ryan was there.
It was overcast when demolition crews brought down the coal silo outside the Elk Creek Mine. Volunteer firefighters and old coal miners watched from a distance and waited. The silence ended when dynamite ripped through the concrete tower, sending shockwaves up and down the valley. There was no cheering after the explosion, just more silence. About 3.5 years ago, a fire started deep in the mine. No one was injured, but they had to seal it shut to try to suffocate the fire. That also meant sealing in equipment worth tens of millions of dollars. A year later, they reopened the mine to try to recover those machines, but the fire started right back up.
Well, it was devastating for everybody. It was very depressing. We made the decision that it was not worth risking life to recover equipment.
That's Mike Ludlow, the president of Oxbow Mining. Hundreds of workers were laid off. One of those miners, Tom Anderson, came back to see the silo come down.
Actually, the first time I saw this silo was in 1974, so I've been in and out of this valley for a long time. It's just the end of mining as far as I'm concerned up here.
He had worked at Elk Creek Mine for 20 years. There, on that overcast hill, his wife Judy was with him.
My comment that I'll just make is what I felt when it came down. Rest in peace.
Well, it's right next to the graveyard here, so I guess it's okay to have a funeral.
Over the coming months, the mine will be sealed shut and covered in topsoil. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado has seen its first confirmed cases of hantavirus this year. So far, two people have contracted the disease, and one of them died. KVNF's Laura Palmisano reports.
Deer mice carry the potentially fatal respiratory disease, and about 40% of those infected with it die. The mice primarily spread the virus through their urine and droppings. When people stir up that waste, like when sweeping out a rodent-infested barn, they can breathe it in. Jennifer House is the state public health veterinarian.
Individuals that have come down with hantavirus, they'll get sick with fever, chills, and maybe some pain in the back and legs. And this usually will happen within 1 to 6 weeks after exposure to rodents.
House says the disease is rare, but people still need to take precaution. For example, she advises airing out a room that had mice in it for at least 30 minutes before cleaning.
And to spray down dead mice, their nest, and any droppings with a bleach solution before working.
Last year, there were 6 cases of hantavirus in Colorado, and 4 people died. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
In future years, should the state keep millions of dollars or refund that money to taxpayers? That's the question that surrounds debate over Colorado's so-called hospital provider fee. State Senator Pat Steadman, a Democrat on the legislature's Joint Budget Committee, supports a bill to reclassify the fee, allowing the state to keep the money. He spoke with Benta Berklin.
The hospital provider fee passed in 2009, and it's a fee that hospitals assess themselves, and then they get some federal money. Can you give a quick overview of how it works and why hospitals wanted to pay this fee?
Colorado's participation in the Medicaid program requires us to put a certain amount of state money up in order to draw down matching federal dollars. Roughly, for every state dollar we spend, we draw a matching dollar from the federal government, so it doubles the amount of money we have for healthcare services. The hospital provider fee was a way for the state to have more state funds to put on the table to draw down those matching federal funds.
Now the debate is centering on how this fee should be calculated in terms of should it be counted as state revenue or something else. And just for listeners, under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, state growth must be limited to inflation plus population growth. How would reclassifying this fee impact that state revenue calculation under Tabor?
The hospital provider fee was created several years ago, back when we were in a Tabor timeout. Those limits weren't applying at the time. Referendum C had waived them for 5 years. It shouldn't be a surprise that the hospital provider fee is pushing us closer and closer to being in excess of our Tabor limits. The question is, what are we going to do about it?
And so that's where we're seeing a pretty significant divide, or at least we have up until this point, between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats want to put the fee into an enterprise fund, and so then it wouldn't calculate towards this Tabor limit.
The proposed bill would create a new enterprise for the purpose of assessing this hospital provider fee separate from and doesn't count against the state's fiscal year Tabor limits. And that would help us because those limits only grow by the rate of population growth and consumer inflation each year. And the rate of medical inflation has been moving too fast.
And how much money are we talking about in the next few budget cycles that the state will get to keep versus refund to voters if this bill passes?
One of our revenue forecasts from our state economists predicts we will be paying Tabor refunds on the order of $246 million in fiscal year 17-18.
Can you just give a quick overview of why some of the Republicans are opposed? I know for some folks it feels like it's kind of violating the spirit of Tabor.
The Tabor Amendment says that its intent is to restrain the growth of government. By taking the hospital provider fee and creating a new separate enterprise to run it, in the view of opponents, you're allowing government growth to occur in an unaccountable, off-budget, offline mechanism. They would prefer to have a tight limit on all of this and have everything count against one global limit for all of the state.
Do you think there will be a compromise? I know we have a handful of Republicans who said they would vote for the Democratic bill.
To balance this year's budget and get it introduced, the Joint Budget Committee chose to artificially restrict the amount of hospital provider fee revenue we take in. We lowered the allowable amount of the fee by $73 million. That gets doubled when you consider the matching federal dollars that we won't be able to draw down because we don't have the 73 to begin with. That's $146 million we're taking out of our healthcare system. We're taking out of rural and critical access hospitals that are providing, you know, healthcare to people that in a lot of places in the state don't have anywhere else to go. Part of the reason for the hospital provider fee and the reimbursement structures that it supports was enabling those hospitals to continue serving the Medicaid population and conserving the communities that they're in light of all of the cost pressures on the system. It is a great concern to think about just what that little budget balancing move that the budget committee translates into when you talk about health care and particularly in rural hospitals across the state.
That's Democratic State Senator Pat Stedman from Denver. I'm Benta Berkland.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.